me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Have you ever bought anything on layaway? When you buy something on layaway, you tell the store, they put it up, and you begin to make payments on it, and finally you pay it off, and then you get to enjoy whatever it is that you're purchasing. Well, Jesus paid a price. He paid all the price that needed to be paid on Calvary so that we could have the blessings of redemption. And we need those blessings. The blessings of forgiveness and of His joy and just so many things that God has given us. And it all comes about through the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. And redemption, the word redemption is found in verse 7 and in verse 14 of this passage we're going to read here in just a moment. And that acts as kind of brackets around the rest of this paragraph to show us that these blessings are the blessings of redemption that God has given for us who have repented and trusted in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you haven't repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, you can. And you can enjoy the benefits of this redemption. But for all of God's children, this is a blessing. So we need to repent and trust in Jesus if we don't know Him. And if we do know Him, we need to continue to trust Him and look for these blessings in our lives and draw near to Him because He is the key to the blessing. He is the blessing itself, and He is the one who communicates all of these things to us. So the title of my message is The Blessings of Redemption, and look with me in verse 7. In Him, that is Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, that is the blood shed on Calvary and the cross, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace that He richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time to bring everything together in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth in Him. In Him we also have received an inheritance, because we were predestined according to the plan of the one who works out everything in agreement with the purpose of His will, so that we who had already put our hope in Christ might bring praise to His glory. In Him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance unto the redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. The blessings of redemption, what are they? Well, first of all, we are granted His complete forgiveness. I love this. Look at verse 7. In Him we have redemption, that is, the price has been paid through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace that He richly poured out on us. We have forgiveness of our trespasses, all our trespasses. What is a trespass? A trespass is a sin, but it is a sin that is willfully done. It is what we choose to do. We choose to break the law of God. And the Scripture says that all of us have done that. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Every human being who has ever lived has not only sinned once, but we've sinned many, many times. As you look at all of the sins, there are sins that we commit, and that's probably what we think of the most, sins like adultery or murder or these kinds of things, theft. These are sins we commit. But there are also sins of omission. That is, sins that when we should have done something for the Lord that we didn't do. I once heard an atheist say, I live just as righteous a life as any Christian I've ever seen. Well, let me ask you this. If the main commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then how is that possible as an atheist? You see, God has called us to love Him. And that's another way we sin against Him. We don't love Him. We ignore Him. We live our lives without Him. What about sins of speech? The Bible says if any man can control his tongue, he is perfect in all he does. But the fact is, none of us can. We are all guilty of sins of speech. And we're not just talking profanity or dirty jokes or these kinds of things. We're talking speaking against other people, slander, gossip. All of these things are sins against God. So I could go on, but you're getting the idea. We haven't just sinned, but we have sinned with a capital S. And we are guilty before God. And because of that, were it not for Jesus Christ, not a single one of us would make it to heaven. Not only that, we would go to hell. And the Scripture speaks of those who are in hell who continue to curse God and rebel against God throughout eternity. God has, through Jesus, made a way of forgiveness. You see, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God just forgive us? You ever wondered that question? And the answer to that is because God's a just God. God is the judge of the whole earth. Abraham said, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? So because God is the judge of all the earth, and because He is perfectly just, He must punish sin. And He must bring the just penalty for that sin. The Bible speaks of different levels of punishment in hell. Scripture talks about those who have received much will be held accountable for much. And so there's different standards that God uses, but God judges with perfect judgment. And because that's the case, He can't just overlook our sin. He can't just shrug His shoulders and say, oh, that's no big deal. I'm just going to move on. No, He's perfectly holy. He's perfectly righteous. So He must judge sin. It's not an option. It's part of who He is. It's part of His character. So God, before the world even began, came up with a plan. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit planned in eternity past to send Jesus, and Jesus would live the perfect life that none of us could live. He is the perfect, spotless sacrifice that died for us. He lived the perfect life we couldn't live. You see, for me to be pleasing to God, the Bible says if I commit just one sin, I'm guilty of all breaking all the law. So there had to be a perfect righteousness. Well, Jesus lived out that perfect righteousness in our place. There also had to be a penalty carried out, a sentence carried out. I heard one evangelist describe it this way. He said, suppose you had a speeding ticket for going 80 miles an hour through a 20-mile-an-hour children's school zone. Okay, you would have a big fine there that you would have to pay. And suppose you didn't have the money to pay the fine, and the judge was going to send you to jail, but somebody said, hey, wait a second, I'll pay his fine, or I'll pay her fine. And he went, and he wrote out a check for the full amount, handed it to the judge, and the judge would say, you're free to go. Your fine has been paid. Justice has been satisfied. That's what Jesus did. Jesus paid the cost. An eternity of judgment in a moment of time. Only an infinite Savior could do that. Jesus is God the Son, so He was able to bear that full wrath and full penalty. He called it the cup. Let this cup pass from me. He prayed, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. As He struggled with the prospect of what was ahead. But Jesus bore it all. He satisfied it all on the cross. And He said these words, it is finished, paid in full. So God's justice was satisfied. Now, this is important because now God can forgive sin. When we repent and trust in Jesus Christ, God applies the work of Jesus Christ to our lives and perfect forgiveness. All my sin, past, present, future, covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I love that. That song says, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. The forgiveness. Can you think about this? What sin could God forgive? Every sin. Every sin. There's no sin that God can't forgive. You say, well, Pastor, what about the unpardonable sin? Well, it's not that God can't forgive the unpardonable sin. The blood of Jesus Christ is more than sufficient to cover it. But the person who commits the unpardonable sin, the Holy Spirit withdraws from so that they never repent and put their trust in Jesus. And if you don't repent and trust in Jesus, the sacrifice is not applied. Therefore, the sin's not forgiven. And that's why it's unpardonable. Because without the Spirit's help, you can't come to faith in Christ. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses all sin. That's what the Scripture says. So when you come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know. I love that Scripture in 1 Corinthians. It says, and it lists some sins. I'm probably not going to get all these right, but it says, some of you were murderers, some of you were adulterers, some of you were homosexuals, and some of you were all these different things. And he lists all these different sins. He says, but you were washed and you were cleansed. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's no sin Jesus can't forgive. Hallelujah. So if you'll repent and trust in Jesus, he'll apply that forgiveness to your life. And if you're a child of God, listen, let me tell you something. The devil will remind you of your sin, but Jesus has nailed it to his cross. Never forget that your sin's forgiven. Never forget that the way has been made open. We can mess up our fellowship through our sin with God as Christians. We can mess up our fellowship, and we've got to go to God and confess it. Confession is, Lord, I sinned when I fill in the blank. Okay? We just agree with God, and then we repent of that sin afresh, and God will restore that fellowship. But the forgiveness is there. The forgiveness has already been taken care of at the cross. So never feel like you can't come to God in prayer and that God is against you in some way. If you're a child of God, it's been paid. Hallelujah. It's over. It's done. You're accepted in Jesus Christ. Heaven is assured in Jesus Christ. How long is eternal life? It's eternal. And the moment you put your trust in Jesus Christ, God grants you that eternal life. Hallelujah. So the blessings of redemption, what are they? First of all, he grants us his complete forgiveness. Secondly, he grants us his spiritual understanding. His spiritual understanding. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, that he richly poured out on us, he's speaking of God's grace, with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will. Okay, so there's a couple of things here. This spiritual understanding that God gives. The Scripture says that those that don't know Christ have a spiritual blindness. Now, God can take that blindness away, and he begins to work in somebody's heart and so forth. And that's a great thing, by the way, to pray. If you know somebody who doesn't know Christ, pray that God will take away spiritual blindness and will open their eyes to the truth. This is something that God does. But the Scripture also talks about the fact that a spiritual man, that is somebody that knows Christ and is walking with Christ, has an understanding that somebody that doesn't know Christ doesn't have. It speaks of us having the mind of Christ. So that because we're unified with Christ, we're given a new understanding and a new capacity to understand. Right? When your kids are growing up and they're in different grades in school, they don't usually teach analytical chemistry to second graders, right? Because usually they're not ready. They don't have the capacity to do that yet, unless they're just remarkable individual. So they wait until they have the capacity to understand it. Well, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us a new capacity to understand spiritual things. I can remember, and I've heard an individual in my family has shared this with me, and I've heard other people say this, that the Word of God just came to life when they became a Christian. Before, and they'd read the Scripture and just left them cold. But then all of a sudden, now that they knew Christ, they were hearing things from the Lord as they came to the Scripture. And so there's this new capacity. And then he says he gives all spiritual understanding in this mystery about Christ. What is this mystery? Well, the mystery was something hidden under the days of the Old Covenant. They didn't know Jesus' name. They didn't know what Jesus would come to do. The Scripture tells us in Peter that these prophets and men of God looked forward. They knew that the Scripture was anticipating something, but they didn't understand all the details. And they looked forward with longing, wishing to know and understand these things that would come under the new covenant. But when Jesus came, and Jesus fulfilled all of these things that the Old Testament was anticipating, and He paid the ultimate price, and He rose from the dead, God began to reveal to His people what this mystery was. It was Jesus. Jesus' death, His perfect life, His death, His resurrection, and the new life that He brings to human hearts. This is the mystery of the gospel and the mystery that He's speaking of here. And what a blessing to know what God has given us in Jesus Christ. God has revealed the mystery. And if you know Jesus, you understand it in a new way. Because it's gone from just simply going into your ears. I can remember being raised in church and hearing messages about Jesus Christ and hearing songs about loving Christ. And I remember thinking, I don't love Jesus. Why am I singing this? You know, and just kind of thinking thoughts like that. But when I became a Christian, when I repented of my sin and I put my trust in Jesus and He changed my life, all of a sudden I got it. He's real. He's changed me. He's forgiven me. He's given me new life. And I began to have feelings of gratitude and praise for the Lord because of what He had done for me. And so this spiritual understanding, and so He gives us the capacity to understand. He gives us understanding into the mystery about Christ, but He also gives us increasing understanding as we come to the Word of God. Because the Bible says the Spirit of God leads us and guides us into all truth. And so as we read the Scripture, and as we as you're here in a sanctuary service, or as you're in a Sunday school class, and God begins to open your mind to new truth that you find in God's Word, this is a continuing blessing and a heritage of the children of God to understand these truths. Now, you may say, well, I know some liberal theologians who don't believe the Bible and who don't believe in God, and yet they write about the Scripture. Well, yeah, you can write about things. You can write about something as an outsider. That's true. But when you become a Christian and you experience it, it is something completely different. When you know God, what Jesus say? He said, you know, many are going to stand before me and say, oh, Lord, look at all this we've done for you. And He says, well, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, you need to know Christ to understand the fullness of what God's Word says. It's amazing. Some people got so many degrees, they don't know what to do with them, and yet they miss the main point of Scripture because they don't know Christ. You see, there is a spiritual knowledge, and it's this spiritual knowledge that God gives and begins to develop when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so this is a blessing of His redemption. And this word, again, for redemption, I mentioned this last week, but it means to be loosed from. So God has loosed us from our sins through the price that Jesus paid. He has set us free from the penalty of our sins through the price that Jesus paid. And so all of these blessings come about as a result of what Jesus has done, but also continue to do this work of setting us free through the word and understanding that Jesus brings. All right. So the blessings of redemption, what are they? Well, we are granted His complete forgiveness. Secondly, we are granted His spiritual understanding. Thirdly, we are granted His great inheritance. His great inheritance. Some translations say that we are God's inheritance or something along those lines in verse 11. I believe, though, he's talking about blessings of redemption here. I believe this is the best translation. In Him, we also have received an inheritance. But in case you're wondering if we've received an inheritance, just look down at verse 14. There's no question about this. It says the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance. So we have this great inheritance as children of God. Now, this inheritance involves spiritual blessings because the Holy Spirit's the down payment of it, right? By the way, did you know spiritual blessings are the best blessings? Because you can be poor and you cannot have a lot, but if you've got Jesus, you can have joy. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, I've looked at different seasons of my life, and I can remember a time when we didn't have a whole lot of money, and I can remember getting made fun of at school for the clothes that I was wearing, if that gives you some idea. But I had Jesus Christ. And so I had joy in that situation. And can I tell you, my Savior's not changed. Outward circumstances can change, but my Savior never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is constant. And the inheritance of His joy. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And this is what the Spirit of God produces in His people. And what a blessing to be in relationships together where these character qualities are being seen. This is part of our heritage and inheritance as God's people. And it only gets better from here because right now we still have an old nature, right? You and I have an old nature. If you know Christ, you've got a new nature. You're a new creation in Christ, but you've also got your old nature. And that old nature still wants to do bad things, and the new nature wants to do good things and to follow Christ, and they're at war with each other. And sometimes, as God's people, we fail, and we choose wrongly, and we sin against God. And so we're imperfect in this. And so... The blessings or the inheritance of these spiritual blessings, we just have in measure because none of us are perfect. We're all a work in progress, okay? But one day we will have it. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus comes and we're caught up to be with Him and there is perfect love, perfect joy, perfect patience. I don't know if I can even wrap my mind around that. But it is going to be incredible. And the experience of God's presence, as good as those times are in our Christian life where we experience the presence of God in some way, it's just a taste. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, the Scripture says. And so when we get there, we will get the full dose. This is our inheritance, but it doesn't stop there. Did you know my Father in heaven? He walks on gold. The streets that He has are made of gold. The gates are made of pearl. The walls are made of jasper. every kind of gemstone. You know, they said when Solomon was ruling Israel that silver was so plentiful, people didn't think too much about silver. Everybody wanted gold, and gold became pretty plentiful under the time of Solomon. He was so wealthy that was the golden age of Israel's economy, and he is a picture of. His name means Shlomo, is the word, Hebrew word for Solomon, and it means the one of peace. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace that Solomon was just the picture of. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. One day, and materialism, I'm not about materialism. I think there are much more important things than what we have. But I'll tell you this, I don't believe God's people are going to be paupers in heaven. I believe we'll enjoy all the fullness of what he has. And the new earth that we inherit will be a place with no curse of sin. So we'll be able to enjoy. And what does that mean? I'm not sure I understand the fullness of what that means. This world came under a curse when Adam and Eve sinned, and the ground was cursed because of the sin of Adam. And the scripture says that one day God will remove that curse, but we'll live in a place with no curse. This is our inheritance, and it will be in our inheritance forever. Forever we will have the fullness of joy. Forever we will know the fullness of God's blessing, and it will never end. If I'm being redundant, it's for a reason. I'm trying to get it across. Listen, it's forever. What an incredible blessing. And it's all made possible through Jesus Christ. That's why we're all going to gather around the throne and call him worthy. Because everything we have, everything we are, is because of him. So the blessings of redemption, what are they? Well, we are granted his complete forgiveness, his spiritual understanding, his great inheritance, and fourthly, his wonderful promise. Look at verse 13. In him, that is in Jesus, you were also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. So when we repent and put our trust in Jesus Christ, God sends the Holy Spirit to come live within us. Jesus told his disciples, if I don't go away, I won't send the Holy Spirit to you. But when I go away, I will send him to you. And that's exactly what Jesus did at Pentecost. He sent the Spirit of God. And then he continued to show what he was doing as the Samaritans were saved and the Gentiles with Cornelius and his family were saved. And the Spirit of God is being poured out. And what's the significance of that? The promise has come. Joel said, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's what God says. And through Jesus, the Spirit was poured out. And if you know Jesus, if you've repented and put your trust in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. Now, we spend our Christian walk learning how to walk in the Spirit, to submit to him and to surrender our lives to him and to let him live his life through us. And what we find is you live in more joy and you live in more power as you allow him to do that. And some Christians kind of, they have the Holy Spirit, but they don't really experience the benefits of it because they're not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ the way they should be. So, but this is the wonderful promise that we get. How do we get it? It's through the redemption. What did Moses do? When Moses anointed the tabernacle, he sprinkled blood all over the tabernacle. It was a sacrifice that he offered. He sprinkled blood all over the tabernacle and the furniture of the tabernacle. And then he sprinkled blood all over the people. Why? Because he was setting them apart as holy. He was cleansing sin. And he was showing that something had to happen for sinful people to have a relationship with a holy, perfect God. So there had to be a blood sacrifice that would be offered, and of course it anticipated what Jesus Christ would do. You see, I'm a sinner. How could a holy, righteous God live inside of me? I'm not worthy of it. I'm not a clean vessel. Well, I am through Christ, but if you just look at me in terms of my performance, I'm unworthy of it. I don't deserve it. I'm not prepared for the Spirit of God to come live within me. But oh, praise God, when I repented and put my trust in Jesus, He applied the blood of Jesus to my life. He washed me clean. I love what David says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. For everyone who would repent and trust in Jesus, He would cleanse them and purge the uncleanness from them through the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. And that means I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. I've been made holy by the blood of Jesus so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell in me. The Apostle Paul said, "Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Do you realize how radical that is? Do you realize how amazing that is? Listen, they were terrified to go into the tabernacle under the old covenant because if they didn't do everything just right or if there was some sin that displeased God, when He saw them, He would strike them dead. It was dangerous to be in the presence of God because sinful human beings and a holy God don't mix. But praise God, because of Jesus Christ, now they do. And the blood of Jesus Christ is applied so that God doesn't have to come dwell in a tent. God dwells in me. Hallelujah. The wonderful gift. How often has the Spirit of God blessed my life? He's brought me comfort when I've been struggling. He's touched my heart to encourage me, to assure me of my path forward. He's brought Scripture to mind to help me in ministry or to help me when I'm struggling. The Spirit of God has communicated the truth of God's Word as I've been reading Scripture to my heart and showed me, this is for you, Roger, this right here. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Listen, I tell you, Don't allow the enemy to drive you away from a desire to walk with the Spirit of God because of something weird you saw on TV. Okay? I'm just going to say, listen, I really believe it's part of the enemy's strategy to try to make the Holy Spirit seem weird or, repugnant or something. Some of those things I've seen on television are, I don't think they have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. Maybe that may have something to do with the Spirit, but I don't think it's the Holy Spirit sometimes. But the true Spirit of God is so good, is so faithful, and is so real and powerful. Listen, how can a soul be saved from sin? How can the blinders be removed? What's the work of the Holy Spirit? How can a sinner learn to live a righteous life through God's strength? The Spirit of God helps us with that. Who is the deposit guaranteeing us of the inheritance that's yet to come? It's the Holy Spirit. He's good. And He is the great promise of God. How much more intimate and real and personal could a relationship with God be than for God to come dwell inside our very heart? That's an amazing truth of Scripture and an amazing blessing of Christ's redemption. And if Christ hadn't died at the cross, none of us would have the Holy Spirit. Period. Without the cleansing work of Jesus, the Spirit could not indwell a sinful human being. But praise God, Jesus paid the price so we could receive this wonderful promise. The blessings of redemption. What should you do with the blessings of redemption? Well, first of all, if you don't know Jesus, repent and put your trust in Jesus. Trust Him to forgive you. Trust Him to give you heaven. Trust Him to come and live within you. And receive Him. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to be called the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. It's a promise of God. You'll receive Him. Receive Jesus. Jesus will save your soul. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You confess Jesus with Lord. Here's another promise. So take these promises to heart and trust in Jesus and receive this that Jesus has purchased for you. And if you know Christ, what should you do with it? Live in it. Enjoy it. Walk with Christ so that you can live in the fullness of the blessings that Jesus paid for you. How crazy would it be for you to win a great sum of money and to put it aside? Have you ever heard of those stories that some guy living in a shack somewhere and he's got like millions buried under his shack? And he lived a pauper's life even though he had millions. Listen, don't do that. As a child of God, enjoy it. God's made all things richly for us to enjoy. Take these blessings of redemption and just praise God for them, worship Him for them, thank Him for them, and live in the midst of them. And how you do that? Keep those sins confessed and repented of. Keep seeking Jesus. The scripture says you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Keep seeking Jesus. Keep being in His Word. Keep being with His people. Keep seeking Him in prayer. And as you grow spiritually and God trains you in how to walk more closely with Him, you'll experience these blessings more and more and more. Keep that surrendered heart. Keep following Jesus. And He'll keep blessing you. Some Christians don't ever experience the fullness of blessing because they're unwilling to submit to God. Now, I do believe you've got to surrender to be saved in the first place. But if you're saved and then you decide, well, I think I'm going to change my mind. I'm just going to live my own life. You know. Or some people will say, maybe there's one area. They'll say, I'll follow Jesus in everything else, but I won't follow Jesus in this. What you're doing is you're robbing yourself of the blessings of God. But if you'll surrender, that's why you can have a Christian who grows really quickly and who becomes more mature very quickly. Why? Because they're surrendered to the Lord. They're seeking the Lord. They're following Jesus. But that other person, he says, no, I'm not, no, I'm not doing that, Jesus. Nope, sorry. There's no spiritual progress. So, do yourself a favor. Enjoy the fullness of these blessings by walking with Jesus. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for just giving us these blessings in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us walk in the fullness of these blessings as Your people. Keep our hearts surrendered. Help us to continue to seek Your face and to follow Jesus with our whole hearts. And Lord, we pray that any who are here today that don't know Jesus, that You give them the ability to genuinely turn from their sin in their own way to follow Christ in repentance. And Father, I pray that You would help them genuinely receive Jesus into their lives today, God, and that they'd be forever changed.